This is Nachyomi Yehoshua, the ninth chapter. When word spreads throughout Canaan that the Jews have defeated both Jericho and Ai, the response of nearly all the kingdoms in the region is to gather together in a unified force to repel and prevent this Jewish invasion of their territory. All the kingdoms except for that of Gibeon. The Gibeonim, who are also Canaanim who live in the land of Israel, have a different strategy. They decide that the Jewish people are too formidable of an enemy for any of them to defeat, and that their only choice is to join the Jewish people to make a treaty with them, to make peace with them, to convince the Jews to accept them into their midst. The only problem is that as far as the Givonim understood, the Jews were commanded to annihilate all of the inhabitants of Canaan as they took the land, which meant that if the Givonim were to present themselves as Canaanim, as inhabitants of the land of Israel, they would have no chance of being accepted by the Jews as members of their tribe or of having an alliance with the Jews or any kind of peace treaty with them. Now, according to the Rambam, this is not exactly true. According to the Rambam and many of the Rishonim, an offer of peace from one of the nations of Canaan would have been accepted. But be that as it may, the Givonim didn't know this and assumed that they had no choice but to try to find some kind of a strategy of convincing the Jews, persuading them to accept a peace offer from them through misrepresentation. So what the Givonim do is they send a delegation of messengers to Yehoshua that dresses up in tattered clothing, shoes that are worn out, carrying stale dry bread, basically presenting itself as if it had come on a long journey from far away and was definitely not some local Canaanite group. The group says that they've heard about the wonders of Hashem in Mitzrayim, about the battles of Sihon and Og that Moshe Rabbeinu conducted, and that they were so impressed, so inspired, that they want to be servants of the Jewish people. Avadecha anachnu, we are your servants, they say. They emphasize the idea that they want to be subservient to the Jewish people, and they've come l'shem Hashem Elohecha, they have come for the sake of the name of Hashem. In other words, they've come, first of all, to be subservient to the Jews, and second of all, to be subservient to Hashem himself, that they now realize is the true God. Now, the Givonim are so convincing that the Jews don't consult with Hashem. They don't do their due diligence. They accept this report. They accept this claim from the Givonim, and they're willing to sign a treaty and make a berit, make a covenant with the Givonim. 3 days later, however, they discover that the Givonim actually lived right nearby. They lived amidst the nations of Canaan, and they were in fact amongst those nations that the Jews would have had to conquer and eliminate had they not fallen victim to this subterfuge. The community was very confident in their choice, obviously, but 3 days later, they discovered the truth about the Givonim. At this point, they were very upset. They complained to the elders who had made a bad decision. But the elders refused to dishonor the oath that they had made in the name of Hashem. They wouldn't hurt the Givonim, they wouldn't attack them, they wouldn't harm them. However, to satisfy the anger of the Jewish people, the elders suggest that the Givonim be welcomed, but only on the condition that they become subservient to the Jews, as water drawers, as woodcutters for the congregation. Yehoshua approaches the Givonim and first of all criticizes them, confronts them for having lied, asks them why they did it. They answer that they saw no choice but to lie, to misrepresent their identities so that they would be spared, so they would not suffer destruction and annihilation at the hands of the Jewish army. They ask Yehoshua to understand and sympathize with their plight, and he spares them, but assigns them to the role of woodcutting and water drying. They become chotve etzim and shoave mayim for the house of Hashem and for the community. So it's very interesting that Yehoshua adds this aspect of it not only being for the community, like the elders said, but also being for the house of God. So there are two questions on the story. One question is, what caused the nation to accept the story of the Givonim so quickly? Why didn't they do their due diligence? Why didn't they do research? Why didn't they investigate? So I'd like to suggest that what we see from here is how tempting it can be to believe something that we want to believe. Essentially, what the Givonim were telling the Jews was that they had accomplished their goal of sanctifying God's name in the world. that Hashem's name had been elevated so much, that they as a nation, as the holy nation of God, had been elevated so much, that the Givonim came from so, so far away, that they weren't in fact Givonim, but they were people from a faraway land, who having heard this, came halfway across the earth just in order to bow down before the Jewish people, to subordinate themselves to the Jewish people, and to serve the God of Israel. What sweeter news to a Jewish ear than to hear this? So of course, they immediately accepted the report because it was so good, it was so attractive, it was exactly what they wanted to hear. It meant that their whole purpose of existence was really being accomplished. And so one of the lessons here is be careful when it comes to things that you'd like to hear. Sometimes something that sounds too good to be true, in fact, is too good to be true. And that was what happened here. Another question about the Givonim is, what is the concept of them becoming water drawers and woodcutters for the house of Hashem and for the congregation? So again, if we look at what the Givonim say when they approach the Jews, they say, Avadecha anachnu, we want to be your servants. So it's midah keneged midah, it's perfectly fair and just that the consequence of making this claim, of trying to misrepresent, of trying to persuade, of trying to convince, fool the Jews with this claim, was that they should indeed be made avadim, they should be made servants of the Jewish people. They tried to use the claim of being servants, wanting to be servants, to manipulate the Jewish people, to control them, to direct them the way that they wanted. So it's midah keneged midah. It is just and fair that they be made servants of the congregation. Secondly, they said that they came l'shem Hashem Elohecha. They came for the sake of the name of Hashem your God. They were so inspired and awestruck by Hashem's actions that they wanted to come and serve God. So it's perfectly fitting that they be assigned permanent roles in the service of God, namely in providing basic necessities of water and wood for the Beit HaMikdash, for the tabernacle. So what we see here is a fascinating story where the Jewish people are almost persuaded, almost duped into believing a far-fetched story. Initially, they are duped into believing it because it sounds so appealing, because they want to believe it. But in the end, this very subterfuge, this very attempt to be to misrepresent and to fool and to mislead backfires on the Givonim, as exactly what comes out of their mouth is what they must fulfill, just like exactly what came out of the elders' mouths when they made their brit, when they made the covenant with the Givonim, they honored it because it was made in the name of God. And they had a sense of reverence for the name of Hashem, and they weren't going to desecrate the name of Hashem. So too the Givonim, who brought about this covenant on false pretenses, are now obligated to make good on their words, to honor their word, and to become servants of Hashem and servants of the Jewish people.